Today is April 17th, Tet Nisan. It's Parshat Metzora, but I took the liberty of doing something about Tehillim, which we're going to be saying every single day. The first 2 days in America, it's full, and in Israel, it's only the first day, and the rest, it's half like on Rosh Chodesh. But this is recited every single day. We're going to focus on the psukim that we repeat in Tehillim, starting with Odecha Ki Ani Tani, and ending with its Perek Kuf Yud Chet of Tehillim. But before we get into it, I wanted to present you a view of what the world will look like when Mashiach comes, because we're going to explore the Radak on that Perek of Tehillim, and those psukim in specific. And he presents to us a beautiful vision of what it will look like when Mashiach comes. And I think, I'm speaking for myself, it can be really transformative when we say these Prakim of Tehillim and Hallel to really focus on this vision that, please God, we will see very soon. So we're going to start out with a couple Gemaras. And the first part of this shiur is based on a paper by Rav Asaf Bednar that's on the VBM from Yeshivat Har Etzion on the vision of what life is going to be like when Mashiach comes. And I put the link in the source sheet so you can go and see the full thing there. So this is from the Gemara, Masechet Brachot. We'll read in English. Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said that Rabbi Yochanan said, all the prophets only prophesied with regard to the change in world order in the end of days, with regard to the days of the Mashiach. However, with regard to Olam Haba, the world to come, which exists on a higher level, it is stated, no eye has seen it, God, aside from you. So when we read about all of these metaphors was, I'm getting ahead of myself, sorry, ignore I said that, about the lion laying down with the lamb and all of these beautiful things, that is actually, according to Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, going to happen when Mashiach comes. And as to Olam Haba, we can't know. We don't know. It'll be even more amazing. The Gemara notes that this statement disagrees with the opinion of Shmuel. As Shmuel said, the only difference between this world and the days of Mashiach is with regard to servitude to foreign kingdoms alone. While in the days of Mashiach, Israel will be independent and free from enslavement to foreign powers, the world order will remain otherwise unchanged. As it is stated in Devarim, for the poor shall not cease from the land, which indicates that the ways of the world are set and unchanging. So according to Shmuel, the lion will not lay down with the lamb when Mashiach comes, because that's miraculous and goes against the natural order of the world. Everything will be as it is now. It will just be that the Jewish people will have complete rulership over their own land, and we won't have any servitude to any other countries. So this is a real machloket, whether when Mashiach comes there will be miracles or not, and how much things will change or not change. And this discussion is furthered and deepened in another Gemara in Masechet Shabbat. We learn in the Mishnah that Rabbi Eliezer says, it's talking about weapons. These weapons are ornaments for him. It was Chatna Breita that elaborates on this subject. The rabbi said to Rabbi Eliezer, and since in your opinion they are ornaments for him, why are they to be eliminated in the Messianic era? So will we need weapons when Mashiach comes? He said to them, they will not be needed anymore. As it is stated, Lo yisa goyel goy cherev, nation will not raise sword against nation, from Yeshayahu. The Gemara asks, and let the weapons be merely for ornamental purposes, even though they will not be needed for war. So let them be beautiful objects. There's a lot of people who have different swords or things hanging up on their wall because they can be beautiful. Abai said, is just as in the case of a candle in the afternoon. And this Shraga Vitara, Tihara, I think is the Gemara, a candle in the afternoon. Yeah, Shraga Vitara. It's of no use. You don't need a candle in the middle of the day. The sunlight is enough. So when you have weapons, they are superfluous. They're unnecessary. We don't need them. So why would we have them at all? And so that's why we don't need them, and they serve no purpose. Since its light is not needed, it serves no ornamental purpose. Weapons, too, when not needed for, they serve no ornamental purpose either. And this Breita disagrees with the opinion of Shmuel. Eshmuel said, the only difference between this world and the Messianic era is subjugation of the exiles to other kingdoms, for which the Jewish people will be released. However, in other aspects, the world will remain as it is written, because the poor will not cease from the land. Society will not change, and wars will continue to be waged. This is super interesting. It's not usually how we think of days of Mashiach. It seems that the Gemara is interpreting Shmuel's opinion that there will not be wars for the Jewish people, but wars in other lands will continue as is natural. However, this Braita supports the opinion of Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, who disagrees with Shmuel. As Rabbi Chiya bar Abba said, all of the prophets only prophesied with regard to the Messianic era. However, with regard to the world to come, it was stated, no eye sees God except you, that which he will do for he that awaits for him. What will be in the world to come cannot be depicted even by means of prophecy. So no, when it's Yeshayahu says, lo yisa goya goy cherev, nation will not lift up sword against nation, that is going to be for the entire world, and weapons will be completely unnecessary, like a candle at noon time. Okay, so we have this debate on what Mashiach era is going to look like. Nobody claims to know what Olam Haba is going to look like in this Gemara. Other people do. But right now we're just talking about when Mashiach comes, what's it going to look like? Are there going to be miracles? Or is it just going to be exactly the same except for B'nai Israel, the Jewish people will have sovereignty and won't have to worry about war anymore. We won't be subjugated to any nation. So the Rambam takes a somewhat different approach. At first glance, it's going to look like he agrees with Shmuel, but then we're going to, upon further analysis, we're going to see that it's different. So we're going to read a few different sections, and if you want to be inspired, you can go in onto Chabad.org, has the whole thing in English. This is the Rambam in Hilchot Malachim. I would suggest all of chapter 11 and all of chapter 12. I included a lot of them here, but not all of them. And they're all really beautiful and inspiring about what the days of Mashiach are going to look like. So the first one, and again, it's all in English. One should not presume that the Messianic King must work miracles and wonders, bring about new phenomena in the world, resurrect the dead, or perform other similar deeds. This is definitely not true. So Mashiach might just be a totally normal person who doesn't do anything magical and just rises up and inspires the people to follow behind him and listen to him and respect him and gives good advice. Imagine a leader like that. I know it's hard for all of us to imagine that, but that's what it's going to be. And he won't even have to perform any miracles. And they bring the proof of Rabbi Akiva, who seemed to think that Bar Kokhba, or as they call him here, Bar Kozhiba, was the king during the last rebellion against the Romans in 132 to 135 until he was killed because of his sins. And only then was it revealed he wasn't. But he didn't do any miracles, and Rabbi Akiva seemed to stand behind him. Okay, the next Rambam that we're going to see. If a king will arise from the house of David who diligently contemplates the Torah and observes its mitzvot as prescribed by the written law and the oral law, as David, his ancestor, will compel all of Israel to walk in the way of the Torah and rectify the breaches in its observance and fight the wars of God. I'm just pausing at that a little bit. That's what the leader is going to inspire everyone to actually fight the wars of God. For those of you who know what's going on in Eretz Yisrael, we may with assurance consider him Mashiach. If he succeeded in the above, builds a temple in its place, and gathers the dispersed of Israel, he is definitely Mashiach. Okay, so all those things have to happen. He will then improve the entire world, motivating all the nations to serve God together. So here already you can see where Rambam might be straying from the opinion of Shmuel, that it was localized to the Jewish people that will have sovereignty and wars will be fought in all other places, as is the natural state of the world. Here he says that Mashiach, it's not going to be just about us. It's going to be the entire world, motivating all the nations to serve God together. As Sephania states, I will transform the peoples to a pure language, and they will call upon the name of God and serve him with one purpose. If he did not succeed to this degree or was killed, he surely is not the Redeemer promised by the Torah. Rather, he shall be considered as all the other proper and complete kings of the Davidic dynasty who died. God caused him to rise only to test so many, as Daniel states, and some of the wise men will stumble to try them, to refine and to clarify until the appointed time, because the set time is in the future. The Rambam then goes like pretty lengthy about Jesus and why he was not the Mashiach and how he was a stumbling block. And you can go into Chabad and read that. Okay, we have three more. But you're getting the gist of what a beautiful world it'll be. And this is from chapter 12. So that was the last one in chapter 11. This is chapter 12. Do not presume that in the messianic age, any facet of the world's nature will change or there will be innovations in the work of creation. Okay, so again, this is sounding back to like Shmuel. There will be no miracles. Rather, the world will continue according to its pattern. Although Isaiah states the wolf will dwell with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the young goat, these words are a metaphor and a parable. The interpretation of the prophecy is as follows. Israel will dwell securely with the wicked Gentiles who are likened to a wolf and a leopard. And maybe that's just as much of a miracle as the wolf and the lamb lying together in a literal sense would be Israel dwelling securely with Iran. We can pray, though, and Rambam's telling us it will happen. As in the prophecy in Yirmiyahu, a wolf from the wilderness shall spoil them, and a leopard will stalk their cities. They will all return to the true faith and no longer steal or destroy. Rather, they will eat permitted food at peace with Israel, as Yeshayahu states in the next pasuk after the one already quoted, the lion will eat straw like an ox. Everyone will be vegetarian. Similarly, other messianic prophecies of this nature are metaphors. In the messianic era, everyone will realize which matters were implied by these metaphors and which allusions they contained. So when Mashiach comes, we'll understand what Yeshayahu was talking about, and that it wasn't actually a wolf and a lamb, but it was of the nations and how we're all going to get along. The sages and the prophets did not yearn for the messianic era in order to have dominion over the entire world, to rule over the Gentiles, to be exalted by the nations, or to eat, drink, and celebrate. Rather, they desired to be free, to involve themselves in Torah and wisdom without any pressures or disturbances, so that they would merit the world to come, as explained in Hilchot Tshuva. So you can really see how he's making a distinction between when Mashiach comes, we still have to work on ourselves so that we'll still merit the world to come, Olam Haba. And finally, in that era, there will be neither famine or war, envy or competition, for good will flow in abundance and all the delights will be freely available as dust. The occupation of the entire world will be solely to know God. Therefore, the Jews will be great sages and know the hidden matters, grasping the knowledge of their Creator according to the full extent of human potential. As Isaiah states, again, continuation of the last one, the world will be filled with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the ocean bed. And here's the link to the full article if you're interested. It's really interesting how he presents all the different aspects of Mashiach coming. Rav Asaf Bednar, she was one of the rabbis who tested me when I became a Yoetzet, and he teaches my daughter, he taught my daughter-in-law at times too in the Israeli program. There are three different opinions about what will happen in the Messianic era. Shmuel believes that the Messianic era will be the same as today, but with political independence. The Messianic era is thus merely an improved version of the contemporary state of Israel. According to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, as interpreted by most Jewish philosophers, the Messianic era will be completely different from existence as we know it. It will be a supernatural existence where lions will be tamed, snakes will no longer bite, the streets will be paved with precious stones, and the light emanating from the Beit HaMikdash will eclipse the sun. The Rambam presents a third view of the Messianic era based on a different interpretation of Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba's view. According to the Rambam, the world will be completely different, not like Shmuel, and the words of the prophets will come true. However, it will not be a supernatural world, but rather a natural utopia. It will be the most perfect world that we can possibly imagine within the natural order. All of our needs will be provided with a minimum of effort, and we will be able to devote our entire lives to intellectual and religious growth. Nature will not change one iota, but human nature will undergo a fundamental transformation. And as you may or may not know, Rambam, in contrast to the way he describes Mashiach coming, he says in Olam Haba, will be a purely soul world, S-O-U-L, that will only be our neshamas, and we won't have bodies. So there will be a complete transformation that, of course, nobody can know. Okay, so now we're going to analyze these psukim according to the Radak. We're going to see some background information first, but I just wanted to go down to the biographies to show you that the Radak was born in 1160 and died around 1235. Rambam was born in 1138 and died around 1204. So they totally lived almost the same time. Rambam is a little bit older, but the Radak, Rav David Kimkli, was in France, and the Rambam traveled around from Spain to North Africa to Cairo, which is in North Africa. So they didn't live in the same places. I don't know if they knew each other and knew each other's writings, but they seem to be expressing very similar sentiments about what the world will look like when Mashiach comes. So here are the psukim. So we're going to, I included Pasuk Aleph here, Hodu Lashem Kitov Kilom Chasto, give thanks to the Lord because he's good, for his kindness is eternal. And then I skip to the repeating phrases. We're going to see a little bit in the Radak some of the phrases in between. Hopefully from all the times we recite Hallel, it's a little familiar to you. So, Odecha ki anitani vati li lishua, I thank you because you answered me and you are my salvation. Evan ma'asu habonim haita l'rosh pina, it's my favorite line. The stone that the builders rejected became a cornerstone. Me'et Hashem haitazot hi niflat be'einenu. This was from the Lord, it is wondrous in our eyes. Notice here, if you, so here you see it starts with Odecha, I shall thank you. If you read between 1 and 21, in between, the whole parak of Tehillim is almost all in the first person singular, like this line, I shall thank you. And here suddenly, hi niflat be'einenu, in our eyes. We switch to the first person plural. So we're going to see what's going on with that. Ze yom asah Hashem nagila v'nismacha bo. This is the day Hashem made. We shall exalt and rejoice in it. Again, first person plural. Ana Hashem Oshiana, Ana Hashem Atzlichana, please, O Lord, save now. Please, O Lord, make prosperous now. Baruch haba v'shem Hashem berach nuchem mebeit Hashem. Blessed be he who has come in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you in the name of the Lord. Kel Hashem v'ya'er lanu. Yisru chag ba'avotim ad karnot ha-mizbeach. The Lord is God, and he gave us light. He illuminates for us. Bind the sacrifice with ropes until it is brought to the corners of the altar. Keli ata ve'odeka, elokai romeka. You are my God, and I shall thank you, my God, I shall exalt you. Switches back to the first person singular. Hodu Lashem kitov ki lo lam chasto. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good, for his kindness is eternal. And you can see Hodu Lashem, it both starts and ends with Hodu Lashem kitov ki lo lam chasto. Okay, so first we have Midrash Tehillim, and this is on Perek Kaf Vav. This was quoted, this is what the Radak is referring to according to my actual book. I actually opened a book of the Radak and the Mikraot Gedolot, but it's not referenced in the Bar Ilan USB, so that's interesting. But this is, I found it here, and he says something really interesting. Amar Rabbi Avin, Yesh Halal Sheyesh Bo Leshavar, Yesh Bo Ledorot, Yesh Bo Liyamot HaMashiach. So he says there's some, it's unclear when he says that there is Halal, because Halal could be referring to anyone, any number of Tehillim, or it could be referring to Halal that we've codified in the davening. So here it's interesting that this is on Mizmor Kaf Vav, which is not part of Halal, and yet all the psukim that he quotes are part of Halal. So I don't know what he's referring, what the Midrash is referring to exactly. So he says there are some, there is in Halal some aspects that are speaking of the past, some that are speaking for generations, meaning eternal, they're timeless, and there are some that are talking about the days of the Mashiach. V'yesh bo limot Gog u'Magog, and there are some that are talking about the war, the apocalypse, essentially, the war between Gog and Magog. V'yesh bo la'atid lavo, and there are some talking about the future. V'tzeit Yisrael mi'mitzrayim, it's from Kufiyot Dalet, which is part of Tehillim, when Israel came out of Egypt. That's talking about the past, when Israel actually came out of Egypt. Lo lanu Hashem lo lanu, bedorot halalu. That's talking about these generations, so eternal, I think. Ahavti ki yishma Hashem et koli is talking about limot Mashiach. Yisru chag bavotim, as should sound familiar, that we just read, appearing in our parak. Limot Gog u'Magog. This will happen during this war with Gog u'Magog, that they'll come in and they'll bring the korbanot. Keliyata ve'odaka, also ours. That's for the future. Hodu Lashem kitov lechayo olam haba. That's talking about olam haba. So we see that according to this midrash, we have pieces in it that are talking about Gog u'Magog, the future, and Olam Haba. Interestingly, it doesn't attribute any of our psukim to Mashiach, which is what the Radak is going to do, but you get the sense that there's a lot going on in this parak. Now this I put in smaller font. If you want to go to Parshat Mishpatim for a couple of years ago, I focused on this opinion in the Gemara that the Radak also mentions, that our repeating psukim are all about David HaMelech when he was coronated as king by the Navi Shmuel. So that's a totally different. And this deals with what I pointed out, the first person singular, first person plural. It attributes this wondrous day of David being revealed as the anointed one of God, the one who his brothers had rejected, now becomes the cornerstone of the Jewish people. And it's the lines, the repeated lines, are the reactions of Yishai, David's father, Shmuel, the Navi, who anoints him, and the brothers, and David HaMelech, of course. And when we did the Shir on Pashat Mishpatim, we included the Midrash that gave an alternative view to all the different players, actors in the song, that one of them was David's mother, whose name is Nitzavet. So you can go to look me up on YU Torah and find that in Parshat Mishpatim. Okay, and here's the Gemara that first talks about the repetition. The Mishnah continues, in a place where they are accustomed to repeat certain verses, he too should repeat them. It was taught in the Tosefta, Rabbi Huda Nasi repeats certain matters in Hallel. Rabbi Elazar ben Parata adds certain matters in Hallel. The Gemara asks, what did he add? What does he add? Abaye said he continues repeating additional verses in Hallel, those from Odaka Kiani Tani, and onward until the end of the psalm, as is the custom even today, which is what we did. So it's a very early custom that goes all the way back to the Mishnah and the Tosafta. Okay, now we arrive at the Radak. So as we, please God, as we recite these verses over starting Sunday night, because it's the only time we say Hallel at night in the Seder, and continuing all the way through to the end of the Chag, depending on where you be and how you hold with second day Yom Tov, we will, please God, this year see these words of the Radak as, again, explained by the Rambam. We will see them come to fruition and come true. So let's start with this. So I have Pasuk Aleph through Dalet, and then we're going to skip to the repeating phrases. So Hodu Lashem Kitov Ki Lulam Chasto. B'zeh HaMizmor Yesh Machloket B'divrei Razal. So in this parak of Tehillim, we have an argument in the words of our rabbis. Yesh Amrim Ki HaMizmor Hazeh Ne'amar Al David. There are those who say that this parak of Tehillim is talking about David HaMelech. V'yesh Amrim Ki Al Yimot HaMashiach Ne'amar. And those who say it's from the days of the Mashiach. So here you can see in the Bar-Ilan, it doesn't give any reference for that, but in my Mikraot Gedolot, it pointed me to that Midrash Tehillim, which is also called Socher Tov, or Shocher Tov, I don't remember. V'ha-hoda'a l'shon b'nei galut, b'yachid d'raklal, v'zehu hanachon. So according to the Radak, he's arguing that it's speaking about the people in exile, as it's in the singular, usually, and that is correct. So I don't exactly understand what this line means, but he's basically using it as an argument to say that this is not about David, even though he will give the explanation as if it's about David. But he seems to lean towards the side that it's about Yimot HaMashiach and the people in Galut celebrating the coming of Mashiach. V'amizmor metzchil behodu, meseyam behodu. And this chapter begins with hodu, thanks, and ends with thanks. L'shevach HaMizmor, for the praise of the song, u'l'gdulat ha'dvrim she'namru bo, and the greatness of the words that are said in it. V'im, and then he goes on to explain, according to if it's the words of David HaMelech, V'im al yimot ha'mashiach ne'amar ha'mizmor, and if it's talking about the days when Mashiach comes, amar k'neged kol ha'umot, then it says, corresponding to all the nations, hodu l'ashem ki tov ki lo'olam chasdo, thank God because he's good, because his chesed is eternal. So it's a command, thank God, and who's the command directed towards? Towards all the nations. Okay, so this is exactly what the Rambam was describing, that unlike Shmuel, who thinks it's localized to the Jewish people, this is the Rambam saying all of the nations are going to recognize God's greatness. Ki tov asah l'Yisrael. And why are they going to thank or praise God? Hodu is both thank and praise. Why are they going to do it? Because of the goodness that God did for Israel. V'shamar lehem chasdo le'olam. And he kept his chesed, his kindness for them forever. Klomar, that is to say, leketz yamim rabim, after many, many days, years, shayu b'galut, that they were in exile, that he still guarded his kindness to us. And that's what the nations of the world are going to praise God for. Acharechen amar Yisrael yodu l'Hashem. After that, it says Yisrael should praise or thank God. V'yomru ki le'olam chasdo. And then they say, because his kindness is eternal. Shehayu avadim begalutam, because we, the Jewish people, were slaves in our exile. Ve'ata hem adonim, and now they are lords. V'chein beit Aaron yodu, and also the house of Aaron, the Kohanim, will thank levadam, by themselves. They'll get their own opportunity. Ve'yomru ki le'olam chasto, and they'll say, because his kindness is eternal, shebatla hakihuna mihem kama shanim begalut, because the priesthood was canceled from them all the years in exile. They couldn't serve God properly in the way they were supposed to. Ve'ata shavu alah, and now they're returning to it, so they get their own opportunity. V'chein yirei Hashem, and so too the God-fearers, hamit bodedim b'torah u'b'chokhmah, the ones who meditate on Torah and wisdom, yodu levadam, they will also get their own unique opportunity. V'yomru ki le'olam chasto, and they'll say, because his kindness is eternal, ki begalut merov tzarot, because in exile from the great tzaris, lo haya lehem penai, they didn't have any opening, v'lo haya levavam shalem, their heart was not complete, v'nachon, and steadfast, el Hashem Elokechem, to the Lord their God, v'ata yodu et Hashem, and now those who fear God can praise and thank God that they now have the time and the mental state to properly meditate in Torah and wisdom. Okay, so now skipping to the repeating phrases. Oda ka ki anitani. Ani oda otcha, I thank you, ki anitani, because you answered me. Bekare alecha min hametzer, when I called to you from the straits. And that also is from this parak. Amin hametzer karatika. Evan ma'asu habonim, the stone that the builders rejected. So we understand what it means with David HaMelech, that he was this rejected, neglected child. But what if it's about Israel? Yikra kol Yisrael bichlal evan. Israel is called, as a general population, a stone. Kamo, like it says in Bereshit, ro'eh evan Yisrael. The translation I read said he sustained the rock of Israel, but I think it could be the shepherd of the stone of the rock of Israel, stone of Israel. Al derech mashal, by way of a parable. Ki Yisrael ikar ha'olam, because Israel is the foundation of the world. Shemekaimim binyan ha'olam b'chukehem u'b'mishpatehem al b'nei adam, because the building of the world only endures because of their laws and their judgments on humanity. So Judaism brought an ethical morality, ethical monotheism to the world that is what sustains the world. V'hine Yisrael hayu me'usim begalut, but Israel was despised in the exile. V'hayu mo'asim oto habonim, and the builders hated Israel. Klomar, that is to say, ha'malachim malchei ha'aretz, the kingships and the kings of the land, ma'asu zota evan, they hated this stone. Shetia afilu echat avnei habinyan, they didn't even want it to be one of the stones of the building. They didn't want Bnei Israel, the Jewish people, to have any part whatsoever in the structure of the world. This sounds very familiar. Kol sheken tia pina, all the more so, it shouldn't be the corner, the foundation stone. Klomar, shemachshavatam she'en tzorech le'olam behem. That is to say, their thoughts was that there was no need for the Jewish people in the world. V'yichshavu l'kalotan, and they thought to destroy them. It happened so many times, both before the Radak, during the Radak, and after the Radak. V'hine be'et ha'yeshua, but behold, at the time of the salvation, hayta l'rosh pina, we became the foundation stone. Just like a man makes the corners of his home with great and beautiful stones, to support and sustain the stones of the building, so too Israel will be in the future the cornerstone, and it'll be the existence of the world. This is from Hashem. So if you remember, I'll show you, this is where we switch to the plural, in our eyes. So who's saying this line? This was from the Lord. It was wondrous in our eyes. So me'et Hashem, I have the English, so I'll read the English, from Hashem. The kings of the world will wonder and they will say this salvation for this nation could not be except for from Hashem. Everyone's going to recognize God's role and God's love for the Jewish people. Because it is so wondrous, the salvation in our eyes, imagine it happening. And it did happen. in a small scale with all the things that Iran sent our way, the 300 rockets, it did happen, that it was a wondrous miracle. And could it be, if not from Hashem, as Isaiah said, kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for what had not been told them they saw, and at what they had not heard they gazed. Zehayom, this is a day, and they will all answer and say, this is a day of salvation to Hashem, because he made it, because it could not exist without him. Therefore, we are not sad. Nagila v'nismecha bo, we'll rejoice and be happy in it. Again, that first person plural, these are the nations of the world saying this. We are not sad at the salvation of Israel. Rather, we will be glad and joyous with them on this day because it is from Hashem and he made it. Imagine, and I think we can, all of the nations of the world recognizing God's love and protection of the Jewish people, Mashiach coming, garnering respect from all corners of the earth, and everyone being happy about it and honoring the Jewish people and honoring God. Okay, continuing. Ana Hashem. Yomur Yisrael, Ana Hashem Hoshiana. So now we're back to Israel speaking, and they're going to say, please Hashem, save. Tzlichana, and save again. L'chol habayim l'chatzot b'tzalcha v'lashuv b'avodatecha. To all of those who are coming to take shelter in your shade and to return to your service. So I'd like to think that we, the Jewish people, aren't just praying for our own people here, but the Radak is saying, L'chol habayim l'chasot betzalcha, to all those who are coming to seek shelter in your shade. I'd like to think that the Radak intended here that we, the Jewish people, are going to daven for all the people of the world, that Hashem should save them and protect them as well, and not just us. Baruch haba, v'yomru ha-kohanim. So now the Kohanim are talking. They're saying, welcome. They're welcoming everybody to the Beit HaMikdash. Because that's where they're going to be. L'chol haba'im la'avodat Hashem, to everybody who comes to serve God. I'd also like to think, I don't know if we can, but it was true that in the times of the Beit HaMikdash, non-Jewish nations would come and bring korbanot there. So I'd like to think that Kohanim are talking to all of humanity here as well. Baruch haba b'shem Hashem, welcome in the name of God. B'tiyu mevorachim b'shmo, and you will be blessed in his name. Ki hu kel Hashem. He is the power of God, Yachol, he has the ability, v'hu yachid nimtza, and he is alone, unique. So kel Hashem, kel is Hashem, and kel usually denotes powers, the ability. V'hu he'ir lanu mi'afela, and he illuminated to us from darkness, shayinu ba begalut, the darkness in which we were in exile. L'fichach bo v'yivdu at Hashem kamonu, therefore come and worship God like us. Keliata ve'odaka. Now we've switched to the first person singular. Again, and Yomer Yisrael. This is Israel talking. Li na'el lehodot lekel al kol ha'umot. I, Israel, it's more beautiful for me to praise or thank God from all the other nations. Ki ata keli, because you are my God. Klomar, that is to say, shehereta kochecha v'yachotcha bi. You showed your strength and your ability in me, shehotzeitani min galut b'kochacha hagadol, that you took me out of exile with your great strength. And I highlighted this because the version that was in both my book and in the Bar Ilan USB really didn't make sense. And I looked on Safaria, and indeed there was this different version here that made much more sense. So that's why it's highlighted. V'chein ata elokai, and thus you are my God, shelakachta Mishpatecha min ha-mordim bach, that you took just your justice from those who were rebelling against you. Lefichach odaka v'romecha b'fi, and therefore I praise you and I raise you up with my mouth. Hodu la'ashem ki tov, praise God because he is good. Omer keneged kol ha-goyim, this is said corresponding to all the nations. So here the Radak is explicit. I don't know if he was talking to all the nations above. I'd like to think he was. But here he's explicitly saying that everyone should praise God because he is good. Hodu l'Hashem ki hu tov im hakol. Why do you have to praise God? The Radak adds some words. Because he is good with everyone. Uleolam chasto, and his chesed is eternal. Im briotav, with his creations. So this is not just about the Jewish people. This is about all of humanity. So Mashiach is going to rise up, some inspiring man that will garner respect from the entire world, and he's going to bring peace, and everybody's going to thank him and thank God for bringing us to this day. Everyone's going to recognize God's might, and not only his might, but his chesed, in his ability to sustain the Jewish people through all of the things that we've gone through, and in his ability to welcome everybody into his worship. All of humanity will come together as one and will praise God. And I think it can happen. I pray, and we're all going to pray. Hopefully, you're all going to have these explanations, this commentary in your head. When we say these repeating phrases, we repeat them so you have extra time to think about them and to think about this vision as written by the Radak and also as described by the Rambam of what life is going to be like when Mashiach comes. Please God, speedily in our day. So thank you.
Yes. Have a wonderful Pesach.
Yes.
Happy Pesach.
You too. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. I'll talk to you before you leave.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.